I'm quite, all right, I'm very excited because I'm sharing a sofa with the 46 Triple G woman who we actually recorded a thing with earlier on, but she's still here, which is wonderful because we've got, right, just because obviously I only have the vaguest of ideas as to who you all are, you can introduce yourselves. Going, Sammy.
Hello, I'm Samantha Presti. I am a cancelled comedian, now crossed over to the dark side, and I'm a critic.
Yeah, be afraid, be very afraid. Right, come on, Phil.
Power.
Oh, no. And say something nice about Samantha. She might come and review you.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I'm a big fan of Samantha's reviewing. I'd give it 5 out of 5. Mm. My name's Phil Ellis. I'm a comedian and an absolute piece of shit. Cretin. Oh, I could swore.
That's all right.
I'm all right. Phil Ellis, thanks.
Five fucking stars, The Scotsman.
The Scotsman. And stop it, guy. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back. Well, good to be out the twos.
Well, to be fair, you deserved the twos for a while.
I did say to you it wasn't ready, and then you said, well, it should be. And I thought, well, that's a fair point. And,
exactly.
So there you go, 2 stars. Learn from my mistakes.
Moving on round, we've got an actual artist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm an artist now.
Yeah.
After, like, really coming to Edinburgh, and, like, I was walking here thinking about what I did. Because I forget. Sometimes we forget what we do. I morally. So I'm an artist. That's
okay, well, I think that all made sense. Moving on. until Walter sobers up.
With you, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I thought you had some.
Yeah, but it's a podcast. There's no visuals. We can't afford that. I know. I can tell. Oh, please leave me alone. Thanks. Yeah.
So I started doing graffiti art in the graffiti tunnel, the Banksy tunnel, Leak Street Arches. And one of the guys, old school graffiti guys, doesn't want you to talk to him.
Uh-huh.
So he makes this sign. And so I made this on the back.
That's...
I like that.
That's Phil, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, maybe last year.
I think
since I stopped smoking, I'm looking slightly better.
But so that is some of the art I've been doing, and it's intermingled with my show.
Cool.
It's about street art in London.
Art in London in Edinburgh.
Well, yeah, the show is in Edinburgh, but I was in London. I was squatting in London, so that's how I got involved in street art. And
the Banksy Tunnel and the Leak. What was the second one?
Banksy Tunnel. It's also called Leak Street Arches.
Oh, Leak Street.
So next, we have pretty much somebody who's in with the bricks. Once upon a time, when we started the podcast, nobody would come on, but Mike Blaha would, because quite frankly, he'll talk to anybody.
Great. That's not good for either of us to say.
No, that's true. But I'm still amazed that I am still spoken to by somebody as big time. He's big time. He's big time. Big. You know, he's Hollywood. He's everything. And we'll talk about the professor in a little while, but he's back.
He is.
Still hanging on to your coattails.
For dear life.
And so you've got 6 shows?
13.
13?
Yes. Total, yeah. Producing, I'm obviously just in one. There's a guy in 4 shows. You know Chris Grace, right?
Yeah.
Chris is in 4 shows. It's ridiculous. He's in Shamilton, Baby Wants Candy, Laughingstock, and Scarlett Johansson all in one. I don't know why I'm plugging him. He's a friend. There's a limit.
Now, there's a man who basically doesn't like himself as a person, and so has to spend his entire life on stage being someone else.
I feel that.
Yeah, you can relate.
But that's a new development, as you know. I've only done that 1 year, so it's a relatively new problem, I guess.
And, because I'm so fond of Mike, I've allowed him to bring in one of his turns.
Uh-huh, I'm plus one.
You're plus one, to tout their show. So, we haven't met. I feel we're going to be fast friends.
Well, let's make it fast.
So, I like that. Then
Celeste,
if we hate
Racine is my name. Celeste.
If we hate each other, we can move on.
Oh, no,
Celeste,
we already love each other.
I love the name.
I love what you do. My name is Celeste Racine. I'm here because Mike is producing my show.
Which is?
It's called Poof.
Really?
Yeah.
And we've had some feedback for that.
You're going to go to some 12-year-old.
Well, look, I'm not going to be on a podcast.
Samantha's been cancelled already.
You are going to get some 12-year-old coming along going, that's such an insult, I feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I feel like it's time to reclaim that word. Mm-hmm. And I actually, the show's about me, but I appear as a fairy. And it's a story about a fairy who is here to get people's hopes up in an apocalyptic world.
Oh, I say.
I love that.
I'm loving it
I
already.
Love fairies. I do believe in fairies.
Oh, God, you've got to go see
Just
like
think about
it. It sounds like it. My kind of show.
Oh, I think you'll love it.
You know, really what I'm trying to do is to get people in touch with what is magical inside them to allow them to transform, because we all have to change.
This sounds revolutionary.
Well, I'm trying. I'm one fairy in a fairy costume. In this crazy festival.
But great tutu.
Yeah.
Thank you, tutu.
And there is no part of you that has come to accept that maybe some people are just arseholes and have no inner fairy and have no, you know.
You know,
you must have met some of them. You've been up in Edinburgh for a week.
You know, they're not the type of people that will come to my show, I guess. They maybe be put off by the word poof.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody eventually has to get to this place where they have everybody has something inside of them. It may be asleep, but it has to be woken up. We have to wake up.
Yeah. I have lots of things inside of me, for sure.
You do.
Lots of things.
So do you have something inside of you, Natalie, ready to wake up?
Not right now, but I've had a lot of things inside of me in the past.
See what I'm saying? A perfect example.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that's far up inside?
Do you think that's what gave you the urinary incontinence problems that you talk about in your show?
No, those were definitely elective.
So you've been here. You open. You're doing the full run.
I got here so early. I saw the menus change.
The prices.
I'm sure this is a pound cheaper yesterday. But I like to get here nice and early and find all the bars that no one will go in. And then it gets really nice. I found a really nice, horrible pub that no one would go in from the fringe. No other artist.
Yeah. Name.
Oh, the Southsider. It's great. Absolute rank terrible. No, it's good.
You never
like
past the South Side without the police being there in attendance to someone that's been thrown out.
Yes, they were there yesterday. Yeah. And there's a great character.
And it was that was being thrown out.
But it's £3 a pint of Guinness.
Exactly. You see what I mean? That's why
£3 for a pint of Guinness. Yeah.
Thank you.
There aren't that many places.
Yeah. Whoa.
No, that was the landlord of the South Side.
Yeah, maybe.
I think
I'm paying double that.
Yeah. But then I realised it's a free fringe venue. So I went in there the other day, all excited, going, I can't wait to sit and listen to the guy talk about Thatcher. He just talks to himself in the corner. He goes, there, Thatcher was right. And I love him. And I went here, pick of the fringe. And I went in and it was a venue.
Yeah.
And then it was full of car. It was awful. I had to watch a comedian eat a full English breakfast because I couldn't sit on my own. I thought,
That was part of his act, to eat the FEV.
Oh, no, it would have improved.
I was in there the other day. I saw two kind of back-to-back shows. One of the many, 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 many wonderful things about the Free Fringe.
Yeah.
I noticed you've reneged on the Free Fringe.
It's still
film.
Pay what you want.
But it's not the same thing.
It still smells of sec.
That's, which is good. It reminds you, it grounds you.
Oh,
but so there was one two-hander, like split bill, which was fine. Then there was another split bill. And the wonderful thing about the Free Fringe is they only did half an hour, which was pretty much all they were ready for. But there is a full fringe up here full of people that are only ready for half an hour, that are doing an hour. And they really just shouldn't.
Yeah, but the...
Well, that fell rather flat there.
Everyone's rewriting their act.
I was giving it time to land. And I was like,
right.
Yeah, well, there's also a lot of people that come to the first fringe haven't got an hour. But they build the show, they go through all the usual 40-minute show, and they go and do a thing, they come back and that. So it's all like, they don't know what they're doing. Some people I don't understand why some people are here. Some people are here, come up every year, I'm like,
I don't understand why this is. Do you hate your family this much?
And in many cases, the answer is yes.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe the family sent them.
Yeah, they might have actually. Yeah, you're
right. Yeah.
But how many years did you come up before you were cancelled, Samantha?
I've been coming since 2013. The first year I was an actor, and then I saw Alfie Brown, Mark Thomas, and Rosie Wilby, and I saw them, and I'm like, oh, I want to be a comedian. Uh-huh. And yeah, then I got cancelled in February.
What, why were you cancelled?
Alfie Brown got cancelled.
Yeah.
The month
why were you cancelled? Share with the group.
Oh gosh. How do I cancel? Okay, so I wrote an opinion piece on Chortle.
You're not allowed opinions anymore.
Well, yeah.
You're allowed one opinion.
Essentially, I said that the comedy industry had become so ideologically captured that freedom of expression was at risk, but also I mentioned women's sex-based rights. I said I don't think the self-idea is a good idea. Look, there's a man in with the women in Scotland, and then a few weeks later Nicola Sturgeon resigned, but at the time I was an awful transphobic turf, according to Steve Bennett, who felt the need to put an opinion on my opinion piece and put it up on Twitter with a clickbait headline that did not represent what I was saying, and it just blew up. 1.5 million people saw this tweet, and within hours, my Leicester comedy show was cancelled.
Well done. 1.5 million views, though. Well done.
I know. Wow. I know. I mean, Natalie, what would you do for 1.5 million views?
I have a video where I put my breasts over a balcony and it has 12.5 million, so I wouldn't do that much.
Okay, I just need to go back to the topless stuff. That's
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
I was on
that's
the right
the way.
Track with Free the Nipple. Yeah. Why did I abandon Free the Nipple and join the trans exclusionary radical feminists? That was a mistake.
So you, JK, you're like tight? I mean, is that
me
her?
And JK? Yeah. We go way back.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
Absolutely. Is it all as. Well, I always feel that a lot of this stuff, I'm going to call it stuff, comes to us from the States.
Really? I sometimes think that Britain is more progressive, progressive in my view, obviously not in everyone's, but I think sometimes I feel that Britain is more left or right, may not be the right word, mm-hmm. but certainly more, I mean, I think there are more rules here. I don't think, what's his name, the guy from Jerry Sadowitz would have been canceled in the States, frankly.
No, all right.
I'm not
well,
sure.
Well, that's.
It would have been different. I don't know what. I mean, people do get canceled for stuff they said 20 years ago on Twitter.
They tried to cancel Dave Chappelle.
Yes,
they?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They didn't succeed because he's a powerhouse. You can't cancel Dave Chappelle.
Well, not only that, though, did you watch that show? I mean, you know the one you were talking. Did you find it to be as transphobic as.
Mm-hmm.
You did.
I
okay.
did.
Yeah?
Oh,
all right.
All right.
I did not.
Okay,
see,
so
not everyone did.
I did. I think that he's entitled to say what he.
Well,
feels.
That's true.
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, as somebody who is. In the community, I just felt like it was an unnecessary calling out of a group of people who are already being called out.
Well, fair enough,
and,
but
and
I mean, it was his, what was, I guess people defended it on the basis that it was his friend who he was referring to,
yeah.
But I guess that doesn't necessarily excuse it if it's, if it's a bad commentary.
But this is the hard part about comedy, isn't it? I mean, knowing where that line is, and suddenly that line has been demarcated in a certain way by a certain group of people. Right? I mean, you must run into this all the time, no?
Not when you the main part of your show is you're dressed as a cat shouting at people. I think you're all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is really that what you do?
Oh, it's amazing. He has ears, he has a little tail.
Is it true?
I was so turned on.
Yeah, me too. You couldn't tell me my tiny face, but the.
Well, that is.
We're doing a lot of callbacks to a conversation we had before this was recorded, by the way. But I
No, we had just established out in the courtyard that Phil has a tiny penis.
No, Kate said this. And well, if you're going to come in with the air conditioning on, you're going to think that. I told the room temperature.
It's a Seinfeld episode.
I don't. Well, actually, no, saying that, I did have some walkout. There's a bit in the show that's a bit darker about some friends of mine who committed suicide. Oh. And I've had four friends commit suicide. So it's in the show, it's a true bit. And I had a lot of walkouts at a gig in Manchester to the point that the venue staff came on and said that this is not the thoughts of the venue, do you know? And I was like, going, they're not even like you finished the bit. And I don't do anything offensive.
No.
Right? So I just say, in the show, I just say, I've had four friends, it's important to talk to people, I've had four friends I've lost through suicide, which is a terrible thing. After the third friend kills himself, you do start to question whether or not you are a good friend. And that's the bit, but it's a way of talking about it,
yeah.
Dealing with it, and it's doing it through comedy. It's a true thing, but because of the way. If you, it's a bit, but to be fair, I think I was trying to find a way to present it. Now I found it in this new show. In the other ways, you're doing it on an open mic night. There's 10 other people. Yep. You've come on after someone's just been doing, you know, an improvised rap and everyone's loved it. And I come on and go, "Well, I've had four friends go," and they go, "Oh, we don't like this. Change it." But so I do get it's. I just don't think, and I at the end I had to, because people were walking out, and then I dealt with it very badly by then shouting at them. So
that's fair.
I know it's not, but the problem is you need to get this material out to get it better and get it right, which I've done now. But it took. But it's just hard to have a bit of room to breathe sometimes.
Exactly. But I think
have to understand.
Well, there's people that don't want to talk about it, and they're going to walk out, and that's the problem too. Yeah. Said people don't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people don't want to talk, and maybe that hit hard, because listen, when we're surrounded by people that we love, that we lose, we question everything.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, you kind of have to accept that you buy your ticket or whatever and you go into a comedy show by somebody, you know, like Phil, who you know is going to be throwing all kinds of stuff. Then you've kind of made half of an agreement, mm-hmm. that you're going to be open to all kinds of weird shit that you might know what is. And if some of that stuff turns out to be something that you don't want to hear, then that is you. It's not Phil. It's not the venue. It's not the venue management. It's you.
Yeah, and part of comedy's mandate is to be transgressive, right? You have to keep stepping over that line, right? Which is probably what you did.
And the fact is that the line is arguable, and mm-hmm. and what is the huge problem now is that we have somehow got to a place where every individual tiny-minded person who's gone to see a show or read about something that's happened in a show, their feelings get to be the line. Feelings cannot be a line. Mm. Feelings are yours. You deal with them. You fucking deal with your feelings. But don't turn your feelings into some kind of law that says this person cannot be seen or heard again. Your feelings are yours. They're not mine. And quite frankly, I don't give a fuck about your feelings. I don't give much of a fuck if I know you. I do not give even a hint of a fuck if I don't know you. And I get really pissed off if your fucking 15-year-old feelings are going to dictate who and what I can see. Really pisses me off. Go off, get a fucking life, then come back and watch some comedy and decide whether you can't, you know, you feel comfortable watching it. Does that sound harsh?
Well, yeah.
Can we all say our name before we clap in case they might think we're all agreeing?
Oh, right, sorry.
That was Samantha
that was
clapping.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I've been sectioned 3 times. I've taken responsibility for my feelings. I'm a strong woman and I can handle hard comedy.
Right, so that means
I'm
only
allowed to clap.
Only the certified loony in the room is agreeing with me so far.
Exactly. No, I agree with you, but by the flip side of that, I mean, that person's got to be able to say, that offends me, I hate this.
Of course they do.
But the not answer in the middle is, of the show, surely.
Yeah, well, obviously not.
Well, also, they didn't let him finish. He did say that. I think that's a point, too. Like, you could see where people go, let them go. Mm. Like, he's trained, he's a professional, he's the one bringing you on this trip, take the ride.
And you know, of course I understand that I don't really understand, but I can imagine that if somebody you really love has just committed suicide, somebody doing suicide gags is quite close to the bone for you, but not his fault.
Mm.
When did we stop as a species just learning to suck it the fuck up?
Yeah.
when Joan Rivers died.
I'm sounding harsh.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. There is a time and there is a place. And, you know, if I was to be like, oh, I'm bipolar, oh, everybody baby me, I'm never, ever going to be able to take responsibility for myself. And I'm probably going to end up in a mental hospital for the rest of my life because I've given away my power. I have to take responsibility for my feelings. I have to do therapy.
Well,
I can do 12-step meetings for free if therapy is not available. But if I don't do that, I'm giving away my power. So I think it's infantilizing if we allow this to go on. So I'm 100% with you on this.
Nobody else is. I can see
them all. No, let me say, I saw a show. I'm Van Gogh, right? I did Van Gogh for 7 years in the Fringe, and I broke the world record for most portraits for mental health. I like to open up these conversations. And I saw a show, and it was a Van Gogh themed because the guy saw a Van Gogh picture and it like opened him up, you know? And then, but his last line of the play, he said something along the lines of, thanks for coming. If you don't see me, like, I'm off of myself in some kind of humoristic way that he thought was funny. Mm. And I almost fucking blew my top. Because I was like, there might be somebody who's like on the edge, you know? And I think when you make light of things, but that was at the end. So I did sit through the whole thing. But so I don't know if I would have walked out on him in the middle.
But you cannot.
But if you were literally the straw that broke the camel's back on someone, tipping over the edge, they were already up to the edge.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can't take responsibility because you wouldn't know, you couldn't know those consequences. Another thing, I really like the view that a lot of artists have about their work and people liking and not liking their work. So I know a lot of artists, and they might paint, say, 10 paintings in a year, and everyone that comes to the show dislikes 9 of them and loves 1 of them.
Yeah.
And for them, that's brilliant. If one painting goes down well. So if someone comes to a show and picks it apart and one part they didn't like, then colours the entire show and says, well, the whole thing is terrible. Well, no, there's the one gem in there.
Yeah, yeah.
That but was also, just you, could, you can't so do anything very much. I mean, Mike, you produce gazillions of plays and everything. You can't go around... Well, that's not true. Obviously, people do now. But you can't really go around to do creative things with a tick list of can't do that, that might upset these people, and that might upset these people. And that you wouldn't do anything at all because everything now, there's someone that it upsets. And I think
it's a minefield. The theater world in particular is become a little, I mean, it's just got, you just got to be careful. But the problem is that, like, the whole thing, the anti-woke, I have a... J.D. Shapiro, I don't remember him.
Yeah, he's bad. Love J.D. Shapiro. Okay. I had, I was offered, who's the other J.D.? J.D.
Salinger?
Yeah.
He wrote some huge...
Well, that's... Oh, yeah. The guy I'm talking about wrote Robin Hood Men in Tights.
I was meant to interview him, actually, and he cancelled, so I'm not a fan.
J.D.? He and I have had a huge falling out based on last year. But he's back. Doing a show, and it's called If It Ain't Woke, Don't Fix It, because he's anti-woke. And that's fine, and that's his show, but, I mean, there are fascist, redneck Trumpers in the United States that use anti-wokeness as their excuse for being racist fucking assholes.
Exactly.
So you gotta find a balance,
completely,
too.
But you can't make rules for that, because it's, you know, for example, it's like with the woke thing and the cancellers and all of that. 50%, you go, it's got a serious point here. But what happens is people come along and go, well, this play talks about the color orange, and my father was killed by an orangeman in Ireland, and we can't have that. There's always people going to take a perfectly good argument and take it to extremes and just use it as an excuse for a whole load of what I can only describe
as wank.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there going to be a cancelled Fringe? Like,
Well, it's, you know, they're kind of, oh, I don't know if I should say this.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel so validated. No, I mean, but thank you. There are two or three really, really good comedy performers, really good comedy acts. Who?
That's all? Oh, well, then no, who? Okay, sorry.
Who were booked?
And which one in this room? Is
yeah. Who were booked to do? Who were booked to do? You kind of big rooms, in well-established venues, and then, as we got closer to the time. As I understand it, their, you know, 12-year-old, otherwise unemployable, front-of-house staff, did they, I wouldn't feel, you know, I just would feel not right doing front-of-house for that. So they were cancelled. They were deplatformed. Yeah. And luckily enough, he probably won't thank me, we have Daryl Martin, who went, fuck that for a game of soldiers. You can come and do your show in my venue.
It's just the tonic?
It's just the tonic. Yeah. And I think, you know, it would be quite nice in a way to have a whole venue of performers, as long as they're good.
Right.
You know, as long as they are good comics, doing good material and not just whining on, doing good shows that are kind of been, they've been sent to the leper colony of performance.
Malachi.
You know?
It's, like, it's interesting. I always think when someone's just.
Because, I mean, you've done some contentious shit in your time, haven't
I've
you?
I've done some absolute wank, but the thing is, I think it's like. I think it's like. I did a whole show the other year pretending I had kids, but like.
How are they?
Well, they're actually terrible. Maureen's a real pain in the ass, but I think for another day, and Mother's going to be serious enough. imaginary mothers that we see.
Has she turned the kids against you?
Sorry?
Has she turned the kids against you?
Oh, they came out against me. But I think, what's interesting, I find, like, if you're a comedian, you're saying what you want to do, and you're doing it, and maybe upsets a few people, and but you're coming from a place where you're going, I want to get this message out, I'm doing this.
These coming from a place of honesty. Yeah.
That's great.
Sorry, yep. I said that in an American accent.
That's Americans are very honest, as we know.
But if you're trying to cover a certain audience because you think, well, I'll be the right wing offensive, there's a few comics who do that, and I go,
really?
And then there's a few, right? For example, they like to go,
can't be any right wing comics.
No.
There's a million left wing comics.
No, I know, but what they do is they say they are, and then you go and see their acts, and them going, oh my God, I can't make lasagna very well. And you go, this isn't even what they're saying. Like, this is just crap observational. And they go, well, have you ever tried to get on a bus? And you go, what the fuck is that? So they've coveted this image. And then actually, it's not even who they are anyway. They've just done it because they've gone, well, I've not made it that way. I'll do it this way.
Oh.
And there's a bit of a movement of that I felt. It's calmed down a bit because they realise it's a very short-lived audience.
Yep.
That people go, great, someone's going to say how it is. These aren't comedy fans, so they go to the first show, and then they go, oh, I'm never going back, and then that dwindles. I think if it's coming from a place that if you want to, I just do what I think is funny at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Sometimes it lands, sometimes it doesn't. I never try and upset anyone. If it does, I go, okay, well, let's, again, with the bit about my friend's been suicide, I've tried that for over a year, like trying to get it right, but it wasn't working. I was like, well, no, and I only brought it in the show at a certain point, and it's just moving. Sometimes it's just moving it, and I put it here. It's working because the people have got enough of you to go, right, we get he's coming from this place.
And they have the right to not come back.
Of course.
Right?
They have the right to not
buy a ticket the next time you do a show.
Exactly. And they also have the right not to.
And that's how they get to express themselves.
That's a very
themselves.
Funny line. Yeah. That's just me.
Thank you.
Celeste, do you...
He said it earlier.
Do you... How censorious is the only word I can think of to describe... the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, you...
I think the theatre is a different environment than comedy, mm-hmm. than the world of comedy. And I work in the world of theatre, and because theatre is so collaborative, mm-hmm. it's often... Things are... they're sort of workshops in mm-hmm. some way. And you it's not like it's policed in any way, but, like, you have people around you saying, like, maybe you might want to think about that and say it in a different way.
Yeah.
But I don't really have the issue where I'm policing myself and thinking that I'm not going to say something. I mean, I just say what I think is true.
Yeah.
So it's
that's
really...
Good.
And funny.
I mean, the main... although we do see bits and bobs about, oh, this has been taken off because it used the word, I don't know, poof. It's really a comedy thing. that this, and is, I mean, well, that could well be just
if,
because...
I think if you're confident in your... See, I'm newbie, right? I just, first time I performed was last year, and this is the sophomore effort. And so I feel pressure not to do things that are going to offend people. And I, yeah, obviously it's...
Really?
Point, yeah, because of the atmosphere. You know, I don't want to be, oh my
good
God.
Grief.
But
I mean,
the wow. theater is in the fiction section and the comedy is in the non-fiction
Yeah,
section.
That's true. So, and this is comedy. It's still comedy. It's a character. Yeah. But there's a joke in the play, in the show about motorboating. You know motorboating?
Yeah.
Yeah. This
is you probably heard about
it.
He did it.
Invented it.
I make a joke about... this is the thing where a guy puts his head between his partner's breasts, and I go, you know what? Everyone that says guy, but it's probably women to it too. But I don't know if lesbians motorboat, and I actually Googled lesbians motorboating, and the first hit was hot lesbians motorboating videos. So I'm like, yes, apparently they do. But I had some friends in the audience in the last one who were a lesbian couple, and I was like, God, are they going to be offended? I left it in, they fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing offensive about it. It doesn't offend lesbians, but I'm just like, oh God, I don't want to say that.
I
will get confident
so,
enough that I don't give a shit, I guess.
That is such a bad thing to feel. I mean, Natalie does quite a lot of material that is probably one way or another going to upset almost everybody. And it's just a wonderful thing because it's like a sense of humor SM. You know, I don't know if any of the rest of you are into...
Dabbling in
SM. Yeah. No, but...
SM, is that the messaging?
Yeah.
Oh, right, I thought you meant SM.
Yeah. But the look on the faces, the reaction when Natalie does what I can only describe as her Hitler stuff, is just because there is in a thinking audience, there's a thrill to being shocked. There's a thrill to hearing or seeing something transgressive. Sorry, Natalie, I feel you ought to join in here. It's your show and it's wonderful.
it's my show that I'm about to run and go do, but that's why I'm being quiet, because I don't want to quite interrupt it and have to run. But I think it come to be able to do something filthy and have it come from the most pure place of love, and you hope that everybody understands it, but maybe 1 out of 10 people won't. And I think it's if you came all the way here to do your show, you should do it the way that you want to do it. And they had thousands of other shows that they could have chose. And if they choose yours, they can read the description. They can read some reviews. And it's like, why would you go? If you're going to an amusement park, you might want to go on teacups. You might want to go on a roller coaster. Like, don't go on a roller coaster and then be like, it was too high. It was too fast. I felt nauseous.
It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, I've got motion sickness.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But I can highly recommend, you need to go, don't you? Yeah, I can highly recommend Natalie's roller coaster to absolutely everybody.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, come see you.
Wonderful.
We have a couple of shows.
Oh, yeah, you need to meet this woman. To meet this woman. Right, who's coming around to sit beside me?
That's
nice. I will. Oh, thank you, Mike.
But going back to what you were saying about balance.
Yes.
Sorry. We need both sides to get that balance, and the problem is that the one side is bullying anyone that is not in complete agreement with a whole ideology, almost. I feel the comedy world, and not just the comedy world, maybe universities, other institutions, are being ideologically captured. So it transcends art, and we're looking at a problem of democracy here. And what's been happening with the debate here with women's rights, trans rights, it's been compared to McCarthyism. That's what it's being compared to, because women are just being shut down, deplatformed, losing their jobs, death threats. You saw it all happen to J.K. Rowling, right? It happened to me, but it's also happening to women all over the country. Just a woman at the Arts Council that happened to. And all they're saying is, we want to have a discussion before this new thing is made law. And it's being twisted to say, oh, they hate trans people. No, I haven't met anyone that hates trans people. They're just saying, well, I don't think self-ID is a good idea because One, trans people are not going to get the medical care that they deserve. And two, it's wide open to exploitation from male criminals in male jails. There was a guy up in Scotland. He was convicted. He was like, okay, now I'm going to be a woman. Puts a pair of pink leggings on, a wig, goes to a woman's prison, a double rapist in a woman's prison. That's not a trans woman. That's someone taking trans identity for evil gain. So I don't agree with self-ID. And
but
that's
all
I
there's
said.
Laws against raping people, so isn't that
Celeste,
covered?
Do you have a...
Well, I'm sorry, you said you're against self-ID. What does
so
that mean?
So you're from America. So self-ID...
Whoa, what gave that away? I know.
We both are.
Self-ID, they have it in California, I think.
You mean when somebody self-identifies in terms of their gender and says that I'm trans?
Yes. So in this country...
And you're against that idea.
Okay, so in this country... that they brought in about 6 years ago, we're going to amend the Gender Recognition Act. So for over 10 years, since 2010, we've had the Equalities
Which
Act
is a legal that documentation.
Protects people with gender for their gender identity. So in this country, in England at least I know, trans people already have the same rights as everybody else. And then they're going to bring in this law to change them having to go through a two-year process. And a lot of this I agree with. Like, I don't think they should have to go through a two-year process. I don't think the state should have anything to do with it. But part of that process is getting medical evaluation, medical opinion, before they're giving life-changing hormones and surgeries. So there was an idea just to do away with all of that and be like, oh no, they should just be able to self-ID. Well, a lot of women don't agree with that, because if you equate gender and sex is the same thing, women's rights are effectively gone. We can't have female-only spaces.
But gender and sexuality are two different things.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with you on that. That's why.
Okay, just getting clear.
But in this country, there was talk of making sex and gender the same thing. So, say a Muslim woman wants to go swimming and she wants to go to the women's time at the pool. If there is a male-bodied person there, she won't be able to use that pool. And I agree that some trans women, you know, that's fine if they want to keep their genitalia, but also respect that Muslim women don't want to be around that. That's,
yeah.
You know, that they're both protected characteristics, religion, sexuality, race, disability. This is all protected in our law already. And in England now, Labour have just taken on my idea that I got cancelled for, which is widely held. They've just taken that on as policy. So in England now, we have consensus in the major political parties that self-ID is a bad idea. But here in Scotland...
So are you saying that a young person who actually knows themselves to be a different gender...
What? How old are we saying when we say a young person?
How old would you say?
Well, when you say young,
you obviously have some very strict ideas about what this should be.
Well, no, like young, are you talking about a child or a young adult? So 18,
what's your delineation
14?
Between child and young adult?
So in this country, it would be 18. I know in America,
so before
21.
18, nobody can identify.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, they can.
Oh, okay.
But should they be given puberty blockers? I think if you're going to do that, you need a very robust psychological assessment before that. And they're doing away with all that, at least in Scotland. It has been recently reported.
You talk about this like you have a lot of experience personally about this.
Well,
did you know that you were straight when you were young?
You assume that I'm straight? I'm straight?
I do, actually. Yeah.
I've fucked a couple of women.
Oh,
but I do.
Good on you.
That's good to hear.
So
have I.
Yeah. Well done, Mike.
I wish I could join in. Yeah.
You could with your tiny penis.
I know, Phil, you can just see Phil's
zoning out. I'm just the cook in the next room, right, making everyone snacks.
Sorry, has this gotten too political?
No, let me just
jump in and say, so 25 years ago, mm-hmm. What's today's date? 25 years ago, tomorrow,
yeah.
I started something called the Trevor Project.
Okay.
It's a suicide prevention lifeline for LGBT.
You started the Trevor Project?
I did.
Well, that's great.
And I started
it
because of a show that I did.
Yeah.
But the point that I'm bringing up is because... I know the cost, full front seat at that party, which is a very sad party. what it does when people are not allowed to self-identify. I know the harm that it does. And I know the harm that it does growing up in a society in which you are not allowed to actually express who you are. So how somebody expresses who they are, that's between themselves, their parents, and the doctor.
Uh-huh.
They get to identify however they want.
Yeah.
So I just feel like at any age, because I see the damage that it's done when people are told, no, not till you're 18, or no, not till you're 16, or no, not till you're 14, because some children actually know.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I agree that, you know, if a little boy wants to wear a dress, great. But should that little boy be put on puberty blockers? I don't agree with that.
That is not up for you to decide. That's up for the young person, the parent, and the doctor to decide.
I'm an adult, and children can't decide for themselves. So actually, yes, it is. As a voter, as a woman in a democracy, I have a say in that. Because if my niece wanted to go on puberty blockers or...
But your niece wouldn't be able to actually get puberty blockers unless there was a discussion with a doctor and their parents. I mean, that's the way it works. And it's just, you can't say like, oh, nobody can have puberty blockers until they're 18.
But there's not enough evidence to say they work. You've got people coming out now like
there's
Chloe
enough
Cole.
Evidence to support
Chloe
the idea.
Cole coming out, she's like, I've lost my breast. I'm never going to be able to breastfeed. I fell into this ideology. They said to my parents, do you want a trans boy or a dead daughter? And she said, I wasn't suicidal. But after I had the surgery at 16 or 15, I think it was, that they cut her breast off, she said, then I was suicidal. And one person should be enough to say that there needs to be more safeguarding. But it's not just this.
But not on the other side.
Now, it's many people.
But not on the other side? What about all the young people who kill themselves because they don't get that opportunity to be themselves? Which far outnumber the number.
You can be yourself without changing your body as a child.
That's what you think, and you have the right to actually vote on that.
Well, I'm a Christian, and I don't believe that God put people in the wrong body.
Okay, well, then we get down to the...
I think you can be a trans woman with a penis.
Okay, well, that's where we differ, because I actually believe everybody, as I said, has a magical part to themselves that they can actually transform themselves. That we have in common.
So we have to focus on this that unites us and not what divides us. And this is democracy in action. We're having a conversation and you're not threatening me and I'm not threatening you. But the problem is in this country, in Scotland, in England, women are getting violently attacked. It's well documented in the media. It happened...
By trans men? By trans women?
By trans activists. So I don't know what they identify as, but there have been some trans women and the trans women in the women's jails. But these could just be violent men that have taken trans identity.
Okay, because that's not happening in the United States. There are no documented cases of trans women attacking women.
Okay, well, I can tell you that it's well documented here.
Okay.
But this is good. This is good to have this conversation, and we don't have to agree on everything. That's democracy in action. But I know the statistics, I know the laws in my country, and I know the laws in Scotland, and I know that this has been going on for 6 years, and it's been a very, very, very hard time for women that are speaking out for single-sex spaces.
And I'm noticing that, because I feel I have to step, Ms. Debbie. Not that it's not fascinating, but I'm noticing that this conversation has turned Phil Ellis to the rum, to the hard stuff.
I just want to point out that all the men have silenced, and the queer in the room, the big fairy, and the woman are actually having the conversation.
Absolutely
and
wonderful.
And that is what's amazing, is that we are actually beginning to actually have a dialogue.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, and can I just say, I'm actually bisexual, so, you know.
Okay, but I'm just
Thank
saying...
God.
that's why you spoke up, because... Right. But I'm just saying the men...
Well, I think it's good to... I've got no place to talk about anything.
Even though you only have a very small penis.
I could never imagine telling anyone else how they should identify. I could never, on my own, I could never tell anyone else how I think they should feel or be. That's all I'm
saying. I'm not going to get involved in anything.
And yet, I know you're saying that, obviously, about these cases that you're talking about, but I think there's a lot of men obviously, I'm going to say the high percentage is men committing these offences, but
yeah, that's
we focus
why we
on very small figures that are very like big. They sound like, oh, we can talk about this, but really, they're very.
Yeah, you never really hear about a trans man committing any kind of anything. And it's. And you know, it's a mess. It's a huge, horrible mess in which some people are really suffering, and some people are taking the fucking piss, and some people are getting so angry at everything.
But it's not a headline, is it, that man attacks woman?
No.
So that's not a headline. But
no.
The headline is that the very few times it happens that a trans person does it, then they go, oh, great, a headline. So that's why everyone goes, oh, we need to rally around and get angry about this. Well, really? There's a lot more stuff we should be focused on, all the men attacking women
all the time.
It's a male, we should probably look at that.
A male thing, and that's the foundation of gender critical feminism. And I'm not actually gender critical. I think that gender is a thing. I think you can be a masculine man or a feminine man.
But you don't believe actually in transness.
You said that
you don't think that God put people in wrong bodies.
Well, no, but I accept it and I love people as they are.
Oh, that's good.
But example
in
today.
In the same way as you might accept someone who's got a different religion.
Yeah. I've always accepted trans people. I've always been actively accepting of trans people.
I think
people.
I might need more rum now.
I was just thinking the same thing. Lots of free the nipple rallies here.
That's
I would always put all genders are welcome. I address people by their pronouns. I encourage others to do the same. But we're talking about a change in the law. And Joanna Cherry was on at the stand today talking about this. She's an FMP MP.
Oh, was that today?
Yep, and it was cancelled. It was cancelled. Now, she's got a legal background, and she got it reinstated. So it went ahead today, but they had to have metal detectors on the doors. Jesus. Everybody had to check in their bags. There was no alcohol to be sold because it's so intense here, and there has been a lot of violence, unfortunately, around this issue. And I'm not saying that's trans people, because I know trans people that agree with me, and they're like, yeah, we want medical evaluation because we want to get our hormones. We want to be referred to surgery. We don't want to just tick a box and say that's it. It's more than that for us. So it's not just about a women versus trans. It's a how do you facilitate the best healthcare for trans people and safeguard vulnerable women like females in prison, hospitals, vulnerable young disabled girls that would like to have a female-only carer. How do we safeguard those people at the same time? Because if with self-ID, I'm not saying that trans people are violent. I'm saying that violent men will just take that shit because that's what narcissistic violent men will do. I know that. And I think most people who've had to confront the darker side of human nature will know that's an inevitability, not just a possibility.
I mean, it's weird because the Americans are pretty fucked up violent people, and there's literally zero cases of that happening in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, no reported cases, obviously. Yeah. I can only...
Well, yeah. I think there is in California where you've got somebody in a prison.
No, I live in Los Angeles, and I've never heard that. So, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, I just missed it if it's been in the news.
But yeah, check it out. I'm more up to speed with the British politics because we're in live debate now about what the meaning of a woman is, and it's only just recently that Keir Starmer's come out and said, oh yeah, a woman is an adult female, whereas Nicola Sturgeon couldn't answer that question on live TV and it cost her her job.
Moving on.
What's your ideal Sunday, Kate?
Funny you should ask that. But it's odd, but all of this has made me long. Long for the days.
Wish I was long.
When I think we've discussed
that. That's the dream.
That,
that's the dream.
Made me long for the days when the worst thing you could be in. Well, I only knew about Glasgow then was bisexual. I found there was a name for what I was, and that's a great thing. Mm. I do understand that. That's a wonderful thing to go. Ooh, I'm an actual thing. I'm not just weird. That there's a name for it. And because all my friends, always gay guys, always, or men, or whatever. I was cute. That's not fair.
But I also think this goes back to the earlier conversation we were having about comedy. Not that I'm in the comedy world, but that
none of us are.
We're
tonight.
We're on holiday. We're doing a pithy comedy.
Actually, can I just say, even as I said that, I hate it myself. The correct way of saying it, none of us is. Tonight.
Oh, fair enough.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, well, I know.
The point I just want to make is that we're in a period of immense change.
Yeah.
Right? And the lines that were once understood and agreed upon are changing radically. Mm. And we're all trying to figure them out. Like, even the young people, they're trying to figure them out.
Especially the young people.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to figure them out. They're trying to impose them on everybody.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So that depends on how young you're talking.
But you've also got to remember another thing. Right? It's every generation fights against the last generation. Completely. So it was. So we're not at a stage that the young people, it's not our place to tell them what they're thinking. They're telling us, who the hell are you?
It's their place to tell us the way it's going to be.
It's like comedy. I find it fascinating. So when I was younger, I didn't like to say, this is who I am. Like labels, I was like, and I was talking to someone in my family who was autistic in the 80s. Now, autism wasn't really known, so they were hyperactive. And they were put in children's homes. It's a very close family member. We'll get into too many details. But it was, and I said to them the other day, I went, why don't you do... And there's so many friends of mine that were going online. And going, I've done the autism test. And I'm autistic online. And the doctor says I'm not. And I went back and I got another one. And I've got another friend who has got two children. And they went, well, you're not, because I know you. And I've got two children that are autistic and you're not. And I went, I know they're not because of my close family members. And I spoke to this close family member of mine. And I said, why have you not done the test now? Everyone else is doing it. And he went, well, I don't want to, because if I do that, then that's who I am. Like, I've got a little thing, and he goes, and that says, you are autistic. He went, Now, I know who I am. I know these things. And we all know who we are. I don't want someone else to tell me who I am.
Yeah.
It's an equally thing. So I went, it's an interesting thing. So people are sort of almost scrabbling for monikers. But equally, I'm not going to tell anyone who they are. I don't. And if you know who you are, and like you say, you knew who you are. People know who they are, and it's not my place to tell you. It's not no one else's. You went, I don't
need
a certificate.
People love labels. Though.
I know this.
But you loved it too. You loved being a bisexual. When you heard it, you said, "That's what I am."
When I heard it, I thought I was just wildly oversexed and an absolutely horrible person who would fuck anything that came along and had a pulse.
Special door knock.
But I didn't think that was who I was. I kind of thought that was more like what I did, and that there's a name for it. And I was fairly disappointed to find out that of all the labels I've had, I had the one label that nobody wanted.
You had the dull one.
But it's like now, and it, and I didn't want to make it an excuse for the fact that I was rampantly promiscuous.
We need to hear more about this. This is what the podcast should be.
One of the bigger dichotomies in comedy comedy that sells is comedy that's polarized. You know, that's one extreme or the other. Because you know, when your back's to the wall, you can really rip into something. So by nature, comedy is polarized.
Yeah.
But we always say, well, if we talk about things more, will depolarize everything.
Yeah. No.
And but you have to say, well, we should be able to talk about things more without people getting overly wound up coming in with an open mind.
Able to speak.
Yeah, exactly. So who do you grow up with that supports you that you know you can talk as well? Because it's wonderful when you're around people that allow you to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you're saying, I feel like this, and you don't get shamed or worse, you know? And that's the most important thing. And
beautiful.
I suppose, because I'm very much, can't be doing with young people. They're all too self-obsessed. For goodness sake, what is the fucking problem? That's the gist of my life philosophy. But once upon a time, the people that got to diss you. Or notice my.
Oh my
uses.
God! You don't like the young people.
Yeah, the youthful language.
The lingo from 12 years ago.
That's totally whack.
That's totally whoa, well, yo.
It's very late.
Where
Nazis,
people?
But,
where people that knew you, people that had met you. Now, what with the interweb, the whole world gets to have a go at you. And you have to compare yourself against the whole world.
Yeah.
And what's happening, and what's okay, and what's not. And that is, human beings are not world-sized. We don't have a global-sized...
No, we're not used to it yet.
No, we were born, our generation, some of us, were born into a family and then born into a, we grew into a neighborhood, then we grew into a town, we grew into a, now the young people are dropped into a network that is vast. But that is the way it is for them. And working with young people, I find it amazing that everybody's worried about them, but they themselves are not, they're fine.
Is that not just because they don't know enough to
They're acclimatized to it. They don't. They have a different brain than we have because they were born into an entire network. That was the world they were born into, which is worrisome to us because we had that gradual education into life, right? We had this sort of incremental growth.
Well, we've kept them on the trainer wheels on their bike until they were 18.
Yeah.
I don't know if you think there's like two groups in that. You've got these... like the groups of people who are like just getting on with their lives and they're doing their things. If you say, for example, trans people, then you've got people who are against it. And then you go, but they're all right. They're living their lives. Yep. They're living their lives. Yep. It's great. Let everyone live their lives. And then someone in the middle go, oh God, let's just I'll put them there. Just saying. Mm. And it's like the media. It's the media who's in the middle going, oh, let's just get these two. I'm going to go at each other.
Yeah. Going, no, 100%.
No one. Like, we can all get on and, like... But and I think, I think a lot of us, unless it's been...
It's impossible to be against trans people. Because why would you be against
exactly.
them?
Exactly.
It's
like being against the earth, against the wind.
Right? Yeah. I just can't get my
head around. It is what it is.
But there are some people are.
Well, fair enough.
And it's fair that some
I'm against
people
the
who
moon,
are...
Personally.
I think they're against trans people because they see somebody choosing to be happy.
Can you give me an example?
There's a lot. They see somebody choosing to be free and to be themselves. And that annoys them.
That's a bit like the argument when people say, well, you're just jealous. I think it might be that they don't understand it and they don't want to do the mental gymnastics to come around to understand it.
Can someone give me an example of a person in the media today who hates trans
people? So can I say, I don't think it's that they say, I'm against. I think what they do is they say, this thing has happened, and they let everyone else become angry about it.
In a Donald Trump fashion.
Yeah.
Some people say.
Yeah, so it's not like they're going, we hate this. It's just that they go, this thing happened. And it's like, and it probably either did or didn't happen, or it's a very rare occurrence.
I think that's oversimplifying it. I think things are really happening because they're trying to change the law. So I think it's oversimplifying it.
Yeah.
I haven't met any person that hates trans people. The most offensive thing I've seen is that I have a friend, and, well, she's not a friend, but local comedy community, Laura Monmouth, used to be called something else, it's trans woman, and the worst thing that I've seen is other comedians behind Laura's back still referring to Laura as he, and I would be the one to say, oh no, it's she, and somehow I'm the bigot in this, but you know, she never heard about that. She never heard about these male comedians behind her back still calling her he. But I haven't seen anyone really hateful to someone for being trans. What I'm seeing is women saying, hang on a minute, we don't want our little girls to be seeing penises in the swimming baths. Or Muslim women saying, I don't want to go swimming in the same pool as a male-bodied person. Or women sports people saying, well, I don't want to swim with a male because that male is going to beat me. He's got bigger hands. And this is just common sense. But because we're so scared of offending someone and hurting somebody's feelings, we're letting this happen. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that Leah Thomas, towering over those women, took that trophy. You look at that photo and it's just ridiculous. I don't hate her because she's trans. I don't hate her at all. But I don't like that it's an injustice to women.
You were going to say, Phil?
I was just thinking how Kate felt when she was behind that door that they pulled the shutter across and you were going, all those lesbians inside going, bisexual.
Bisexual,
try and get in.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, fuck that.
The whole time. Every
and you're going back in your bus.
Every slang word, like switch it or all that. And it one thing that has, I should have felt more happy. I went to see a show called Alphabet Soup, which is it's a whole load. There's everything.
Everything, Murray.
Yeah, but and God. And
Celeste was on there. They have some kind of chat show or something.
Yeah, I think maybe I saw them on a bad day. I saw them where the opening line for every single act was. I'm really jet lagged and
was it day one?
One of the two hosts, right. And I was like, oh God, my people have found their place. There was a guy called, this is terrible. There was everybody, and there was every person across the spectrum. And one of the hosts, towards the end of the show, was like, I'm bisexual. I was like, sorry, is that, that's it? That qualifies you, finally, to be in there with the whole mix.
God, yeah, there's a lot of comedians
LGBTQIA.
The way I see it is there's acres of stuff here that could be funny if the gate was open to be funny about it.
Right.
Good point. Phil.
Sorry, I did a show in 2019. That was the year of the bisexual in Edinburgh. That was the theme.
They had a year.
Yeah,
2019.
Yeah. So
Cops
I went.
Year
he was in the zeitgeist, not officially.
Yeah, but not officially. Yeah. But I just thought it was funny because I went. I said, "Oh, it's so funny." I said, "So many bisexual comedians as they do this set and then leave with their partner of the opposite sex," and I was doing this show about this thing, that was like, I think the problem is like each year in Edinburgh we get angry about a certain thing. So we go, in 2019 we're going, this year everyone's doing this, and what happens is a lot of younger comics go, I've got a theme. And it turns out they've all got the same ideas. So they all go, ah, oh, fuck. So then that year, so everyone's ADHD this year. They're going, yeah. Oh God, I've got ADHD. Oh shit, I've got it. Ah, oh, fuck.
ADHD,
I think, is the big one. I would say.
AI is a big one this year.
Oh, this
too,
year,
AI
is a big one.
It's in my show, I've got to admit.
Autism, absolutely everything across the neurodiverse spectrum. And if it's not that, then it's somewhere across the trans. And you go.
But
it's a comedy festival. This section, what does it say up there?
Yeah,
it
but then
comedy.
Some people smash
be
it.
Funny.
Like, just be funny, yeah. But so, obviously, if you've got the themes and you smash it, there's loads of funny, so many funny
it's
trans
people.
It's
where you've always fallen down so
it.
Horribly, Phil.
I know, well, I've not been funny enough. That's my problem. Yeah. But this year, I think I'm
have you
funny.
Considered putting on a frock?
I think dressed as a cat. With pretty much your entire human.
No, that is every, he.
And also
looks.
that morph suit is not flattering.
Well, see, in the United States, the people who oppose trans rights, which I'm not saying is you, right? You've made very clear that that's not your position.
I oppose self-ID.
Depends
how you define
Thank
trans
you.
Rights.
Yeah, obviously.
Moving on.
Well, I would define that as part of trans
God,
rights.
Where is the anyway. Rum, for the love of God?
Honestly, what is those...
Well, in the United States, the people are circulating false stories on the internet that certain school districts are allowing the children to identify as cats. That's bullshit.
Oh my goodness.
It's completely made
That's
up.
That's happening here too.
It's so made up. It's so made up.
Yeah.
Because
I
know a friend who went to that school and they went, yeah, it's just made up. So this is what I was saying before is the problem is, not to have a go, Samantha, I'm very much, but the point is that these stories are made to make these two groups of people who don't care. Yeah. All the trans people and the younger people and children who are just finding their way in life. Let them get on with it and let them find the way, because it's so hard. Life is really fucking hard. Let you find your way. we're all over here. And then there's someone in the middle just going, ah, have you heard about this story about here? And then all the time, it doesn't exist. Like, it doesn't
well, that's always
matter.
Been like that.
Like,
I mean, I there's do, always that yeah, one
there
person.
Always has been.
It's gotten much
did
worse,
you see
though.
That? Did you
there's
see
always,
that?
There's what, always has been not as fundamental a thing as the trans debate or whatever. But there has always been some way in which the new generation has gone, no, you old generation, you're wrong. Mm. You know, I was a hippie. I was a glam rocker. And I'm not saying that's, obviously, that's not nearly as fundamental, but there is a way in which a new generation goes, you're doing it wrong.
But can I tell you something about queer young people? They're amazing because they're the first generation that actually look to their elders and go, wow, you were amazing.
Really?
You actually...
Keep going.
You carved a trail for us to be able to be who we are.
It doesn't feel like that.
That's the way it is.
Well,
I'm reporting from the front.
Okay.
I work with young people and I'm amazed by the depth of their appreciation. That they actually are the first generation to see that there are people coming up from behind that they have to be responsible for, but they're also looking ahead and seeing these people and thinking, you're amazing that you live this life as a bisexual person.
I mostly it hear doesn't... the young people complaining that we got the last of the cheap houses.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about young people, you talk about the young people that you're in touch with, which are in the comedy world, who are 20 to 30. I'm talking about...
Stephen is not in the comedy world. Stephen's an interloper.
Well, I'm not...
I'm just talking about young people who are like 12 to 25.
Sorry, before I go any further... Sorry, Stephen, your voice is... the best voice I've ever heard. That sometimes when you're talking, I'm getting a little bit horny because it's the most silky.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
and I'm joking. It's difficult.
I've been for the insult.
I know, but no, but no, but I'm not joking. Like, I was just sitting there. I was going, I think I'm getting horny. Am I getting horny?
That,
that
that's the thing. That's the great thing about you, Phil. You can't tell when you're getting hard on because.
What is this theme right now? That's the last time I wear a lycra suit in a show. But I just wanted to say, beautiful. Beautiful voice. Thanks for being part of this podcast.
It's available sorry, for sale.
Yeah, and I apologise for interrupting that moment.
I have a sense that this particular podcast has been going on for about 4 hours.
And I have to slip away.
I know. So, you slip away, what we're going to do is, while we're still barely sentient, because I have noticed, and because I've joined in, that as this conversation has got more and more deep and more and more meaningful, more and more rum has been
I'm shit-faced now.
And people who
I'll tell you about trans rights.
Yeah, well, exactly. I should change my mind. Exactly. You know what? I will tell people how they should live.
You're having sex with Steve.
And I'm stuck in the middle between the two of them.
It's his voice.
Can we take a picture of this?
I'm going to
in the middle of the silence.
We should take a picture. We should have a picture.
So what I'm going to... How long has it been going on for? Here we go.
Slightly
over an hour. There we go. Oh, look. Fabulous. So just in case...
Have you got the white?
Yeah, just in case...
That's much better than mine.
We all decide in a minute, or one more rum, and we all hate one another and fall upon one another in a negative way. But what we're going to do now is promote our shows. Promote our shows, and so at least if anybody has lasted to the end of this podcast,
other than us,
other than us, there will be, you know, we can get information on the shows, and that will be. What are you doing? Everyone's
he's an artist. He's getting the fucking. We're getting an artist view, which is like bonus.
So we're Samantha. We have established has been cancelled.
Yeah, but I have a website.
Oh, okay.
So here we go. Right, so here's a website.
Heathenjess.uk. I've got some interviews and one review on there so far.
Please.
Of course.
Samantha's promoting her website.
I'm promoting other comedians, free speaking comedians. I've been reviewing. I've been specific. specifically looking for free speaking comedians. So I've been reviewing for mumblecomedy.net as well.
Just the Tonic Mash. His show is Tales from Hollywood. If it ain't woke, don't fix it.
Okay.
And it's
good plug you got in there. And I'll plug Elliot Steele. He's
the best
show that I love.
We're not really friends anymore, but he is a friend.
Okay. Now, I would
say Jenny Shapiro.
Come on. In. You've got to promote
what did he do
your show,
last year?
Phil.
Yeah, it's your turn to do a plug.
So he was, he wrote Battlefield Earth. That's the thing I went to.
Yeah, but what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, that's...
What are you doing and where?
Oh, well, I'm doing your plug. Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you trying to get me.
What are you doing, where, and what time?
Well, here we go. There you go. Come on. Speak into the microphone.
Well, I can, but even though he's
What's
not even
name?
Talking, I can't take my eyes off Stephen because I know that larynx is there shining. Stretching it out, the dirty position.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
There you are. Welcome to the world of bisexuality.
Wow. Well, thank you for accepting me. I can't wait to have a door shut on me in Glasgow in 1988. My name's Phil Ellis. I've got a
five
show.
Five stars, The Scotsman.
Five stars, The Scotsman. I know, thank you, guys. Thank you. Really makes up for
this year.
Two stars.
This year.
I know, two stars last year. Told her not to come. She still came.
I know.
And give me two stars. I knew it would happen. But actually, fair play. I respected you for it. I didn't see them until like a week ago, though.
What?
Because I didn't check online. But this year's five stars. It's a really good show. I love it.
It's a brilliant
Where is
show.
It and
thank
when?
You. Thank you very much. Hello. There's a producer in the house. It's at the Hive Monkey Barrel. I love the Monkey Barrel. Hive 2. It's my favourite room I've ever played in the Fringe.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. So I'm shouting too much. Thank you. Stephen's back now on sound and he's gone. Phil's shouting too much. Yeah.
Just say something. Can you just say something sexy for Phil?
How sexy would you like it?
That's the next level Barry White shit there, man.
I need to save some.
The mojo of these two.
Oh, God.
You want some soda? Okay, so before I slip away, I'm just... Before I slip away, my name is Celeste Lacine. I'm doing... Poof! A solo show at the Gilded Balloon,
Tiviot,
in the billiard room, 1:30 p.m. every day.
So that's like lunchtime.
Yeah, 1:30. Yeah.
Edinburgh. That's why I have to slip away now.
Oh, yeah. I give you a hug.
Celeste,
no,
we love that. The advice said that you were striking was at least a 2.
Say that again. Hang on. No. Oh my God. We have a microphone that is pointed at Sammy's. Sammy. Oh, they're
12:30 p.m.
Photo. Oh, for God's sake!
Keep hugging. No, keep hugging.
This is great.
If we can make it work.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Bingo.
Gorgeous.
Yes, that is. Is what this poof. 1:30, Gilded Balloon.
Come get your hopes up.
Okay. Is that get your hopes up and come, or come and get your hopes up?
Get your hopes up and come.
Can I say, from certain people you meet, it sounds like such a... And I hate this word, and I'm going to apologise for using it. But you only meet people, and they've got a good energy. I'd say Celeste has got a really good energy. If you want to have a nice time, I would... But I feel
Thank you,
weird.
Phil. That's so nice of you.
You're right, by the way.
Yeah,
you've got a really good energy, and I'd like to spend an hour
I
in your company.
Agree.
So I'd agree with that.
But it is also
I said
you're,
that.
Yeah, very cool. Totally. You're chill.
Yeah, you've got really good aura about you.
Also, can I just say, the Trevor Project is fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful... So can you do like a promo for... Please.
You know,
if you
what
want
I can
send
say...
Money, send money, whatever. This is an amazing organization.
What I can say, and especially probably to your listeners and to you all, is that the Trevor Project started on stage. It started because of a piece that I wrote 30 years ago, and in which I told my story about my attempted suicide when I was 13. And
you were Trevor?
And it was actually...
You're Trevor.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And it was actually very funny, believe it or not. It was took suicide and made it funny and poignant and really moving. And it was made into... So it, that piece of that show came out and they made it... I adapted it into a screenplay. That film won an Academy Award in 1995. And then a couple of years later, We put it on HBO, and we thought that there should be a telephone number at the end of the film in case there were young people at home who saw the character of Trevor and identified. And so there wasn't one, so me and the director and the producer, we created the Trevor Project, and it was really born out of art and comedy.
But it was born out of
Yeah, it's amazing. It's
born out of a real
person. And that story was 10 minutes long when I performed it on stage.
Wow.
And look what that did, and it went out to the world. Yeah. And I'm not saying that as to toot my own horn. I'm saying you just never know. All you really have to do is go out there and tell the truth. Like, I love what you were talking about, like, about the, you know, talking about your friends and suicide. And you have to go out there and tell the truth about your life.
That I don't think anyone can disagree with. I think the problem, when I'm in Kenya, I go, we don't have problems, we have challenges. The challenge is that the people who are speaking a truth are being kind of hidden under some people who are jumping on and to have the person here, who is Trevor, who started the project, who has done everything you've done, which is huge. I mean, massive, massive privilege.
And a miracle, really.
And we need more Trevors. We need... hang on.
Can the Trevor Project send my jacket?
Wow.
Orange, definitely.
Thanks. There's famous people on this. Wow, there's legends. There's people who are no longer with us.
This is a beautiful thing.
I can't begin to tell you how wonderful it is to spend time in this man's company, whether it's a show or whatever. But that the... If more people could meet more people,
that's very kind. I'm honored to join the
are the real thing.
That's why I'm here, because
there would be no problem. Everyone would be supporting everyone,
or at least someone.
Yeah, but no, it's been a privilege to meet you. I want to come and see the show.
I feel good. The same way about you.
Come
away.
Thank you.
I love you all.
Oh, yeah.
I really love you all. I
no,
just
except
love
Phil.
All.
Nobody loves Phil.
I really love you.
I don't even love myself. I spend my day breaking mirrors, but thank you.
I've got to run because I got a show.
I'm going to run within 30 seconds and come back, okay?
Okay.
Because
thank you.
I got tons of stuff.
So, Celeste, pleasure.
Do we have time, Stephen? I'm just going to run out and give him some.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Because what we're going to do is take a little break now. And that'll be fine.
Can I tell?
Bye. Sorry to have to run.
Yeah, yes, and please. You can come in here.
I'll see you. Okay.
And then we've now powered through the rum. So what we're going to do is take
the rum really
is
kicked
take
in.
A breath.
It feels empty.
Yeah, like take a breath. Take a breath. We're going to take a breath, and we're going to take a rum, and then we're going to come back.
Absolutely.
Wow, this is going to be a marathon of
a. Well, it keeps going. How much longer does it go?
I'll leave it recording.
And then that's great. No, because now we can keep recording. But as long as there is a beat.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Was that all right?
Terribly sorry. I had no idea it was going to go like that.
No, but I like all that. I like a proper chat. I just didn't know when to jump in.
No,
I didn't know. I was going, am I meant to make it more like
I didn't I have.
But honestly, soon at one point, I was going. It's so funny. That's pretty wicked.
It,
that's
what
weird.
Is what is great about
it? That's what I was looking at.
No, what's great, that was like massively serious and whatnot. And as I say, bottle of rum has now disappeared.
And I don't want to undermine anyone. You know when someone's saying, like, when you're making a point or when Celeste's making a point, I don't want it to be, you don't do a pithy comment going,
I know, that was
because
I... Like,
I think we were all quiet because we were less qualified to speak.
Exactly,
but it
was
back.
No, all right, but,
come in.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to see him. He got a really nice review today. I had to give him the post on the flyer.
Bring.
I love Celeste.
Oh, they're asking you to
go back. I was just saying, I didn't know when to jump in.
Can we have 15 minutes?
qualifying people tour.
Yeah.
And then.
Oh, wow. Well,
seven and a half.
How many years coming to leave?
10.
Doing their thing, I got.
Please, 10.
We've really got, like, our last show's coming out. Yeah, sorry, guys. We've got
2 minutes.
We need to get home. We can give you
five. Oh, no. Five more
minutes.
Oh, of course.
Five more
minutes. We've got to finish a bottle of rum. We'll be out in 2 seconds.
5 minutes.
Okay, you wanted to talk. You've made, you haven't spoken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Walter, I keep calling you Walter.
No, it's okay. Walter's my name.
That should be right. But it's your Walter ego.
But it's that thing of this became, which I really fucking love, something that it wasn't planned to be, which is great. I fucking love. I loved.
Well, so, I mean, Sam couldn't have known, but he's like one of the leading LGBTQ activists in the United States, and so he was, you know, interacting with you, but very nicely and kindly.
He's
and
wonderful.
Yeah, but he's
and
like,
he's exactly the kind of person that would persuade people, rather than the sort of.
Oh, I agree with Sam's like, yeah, we can't be like, fuck you, no, you fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
I agree with Phil, it's the media, and look, Facebook makes money from this.
Yeah.
Facebook is making a shit ton of money
so
about
the Daily Mail.
Yeah, yeah.
So what were you going to say?
Sorry, we're going to let you speak in a
minute.
No, it's okay, like, this has been amazing, because, like, my whole story is about not being able to speak. My flyer, like some guy made flyers for me because I've been, that's mine, this is yours.
Oh, sorry, dude.
No problem, you were out. And I put yours over there. Okay. So, like, heavy fucking shit, suicide, domestic violence. I escaped domestic violence and I did a show. I'm doing a show. And it's about my time in London being homeless and squatting. And finally, what you were saying earlier, what I loved was, if you're surrounded by people that allow you to be you, you can become who you are. Mm. And they allow you to be you. And I was in an abusive relationship, and I forgot who I was. Your brain shrinks, you're in fight or flight, you're confused. I went to London, and I started squatting. TAA, Temporary Autonomous Art, they squat a building, it's a loophole, the police can't come in because you're invited only, and there's fucking shit that I've never seen in my life. And I was squatting. And then I started squatting. I got evicted. One of the squat notices on the eviction is Vincent Van Gogh. Everybody called me Vincent. Vincent Van Squat is my squat name. Everybody's like, I'll be walking around London with that jacket, right? And everybody's like, yo, Vince, because everybody saw my jacket, everybody. And I'll be walking down the street, and I did a walk of shame. I walked 1 hour. I had no money. So I put all my art in my shopping trolley, and I walked 1 hour. I called it the walk of shame. People see the jacket. They're like, hey, what's going on? You got art sticking out of a shopping trolley. They're talking to me. They go, that's not the walk of shame. It's the stride of pride. Wow. And I'm like, yes, it is. And then I go to Leek Street, and I start putting my art up. It's on my flyer. I should grab my flyer. And on the back of my flyer, this guy made flyers for me for free because I told him I don't have any money. I'm just here. And I started selling my art. That's the art. And I just started posting up. And then all these legends would come by.
Yeah.
And then all the homeless would come by, and I had a safe space. I created a safe space. There was some trans girls who came by. It was a safe space, and people called me, and they said, how are you doing today, Walter? Vince, everybody called me Vincent. Mm-hmm. And people started buying my art. There's a museum that said, Museum of Street Art, you're the first purchase, because you got to be making art in the street. And I started selling jackets, and some guy said to me, he's going to try to get me in the Saatchi Gallery.
That's not too bad.
Wow.
I even know what that is.
And
that's fucking
he's
awesome.
He's like, he said this to me. He said, I think you could be the next Mr. Brainwash. Because I'd be in the tunnel and painting, and everybody's like coming around me, and everybody's like, who is this guy? Nobody's ever done this. And I like got all these paintings up, but I'm struggling through this trauma. Mm. And so I'm telling this story. So on my postcard, there's a skull in 710. Vincent Van Gogh lived in London. When Vincent Van Gogh painted a skull, he put a cigarette in the mouth because the teacher made him paint a skeleton. And so he put a cigarette in the mouth to say, fuck you. So I put a skeleton in it. I met the guys from Extinction Rebellion. So they spell out oil. I put 710. 710. 7 out of 10 suicides are men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people like started buying my art and these conversations. I don't know if I'm getting in the Saatchi Gallery, but
you
I had a
couple.
The fact that anybody even mentioned the Saatchi Gallery is impressive.
You articulated it so well but it's quite, so powerful. Yeah.
Well, I only have like 3 seconds left, I think.
No, but I mean, I wish I could sell my show.
Do you have a website or anything to go and look?
Okay, so this.
Yeah, Van Gogh, find yourself.
Whoa. Right. So, he's been doing this kind of stuff for ages. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's a show that wraps you up. And so just speak slowly.
Yeah.
Speak, you know, as if you haven't had as much rum as the rest of us have.
I know.
It was really fucking hilarious because we started off with, I'm just going to have a beer. And then it got really, really intense. And one by one, everyone was just going, rum over here. Rum. Oh, shit. Sammy's going off on one. More rum. Oh, fuck's sake.
Anyways, I just want to say
the American guy is going to get upset. More rum. So now we're doing a kind of post thing. We are hanging on by our nails because everyone wants to leave the venue.
Yeah, no, we got to go.
We're going to get
But there's
out.
Two I things I want. There's one thing I want to do, which is everyone just tells us where their shows are.
Okay.
Mike,
yes.
You have to come back.
To this?
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely. And Walter, I want to tell you now
the
website, the show, the everything.
Okay, so my Instagram is Van Gogh Find Yourself. Van Gogh Find Yourself, spelled out V-A-N-G-O-G-H.
It is Van Gogh, not Van Gogh.
He's American.
Okay. No, I just lived in Van Gogh's house
Van
in Belgium. I lived for 30 days in Vincent's house as an artist.
So keep going. We're going to be
moving. My show is at the Little White Pig, venue 639, PBH Fringe, 4 o'clock every day, 4 o'clock. Or you might see me in the street painting. 4 o'clock, Little White Pig, PBH Fringe is the best fringe.
Go! I'm gonna go tomorrow.
I'll go tomorrow. Right.
Mike, you've got so many. Can you?
Do you want me to talk about the other ones or just mine?
Can I tell you, if it's a Mike Blaha production, it's good.
Well, not this year. We have one that's not. Breeder Bust about reproductive rights in the Paterhoose at 220. It's doing really well. Four, a musical quartet show at the TVOT on at 12:45. Impact, wonderful, my favorite, to be honest. I'm not supposed to pick favorites, but it's about the Lockerbie bombing, and it's some beautiful music. She's a composer, and so there's some amazing songs. Dining Room. We got Dining Room at 1 o'clock. Mystery House about a haunted house in Northern California that's kind of interweaving with her stories of grief with her dad. That's at the TVOT at 12:20. And then we have a show called Portable Dorothy Parker.
We're in all 13.
The
sooner you let him go, the sooner we'll be out of here. Go.
Sherlock Holmes, the last act here in Surgeon's Hall. It's awesome. It's my business partner and one of my closest friends, but he is fucking awesome. I can't lie.
Sure it is. The 15.
And get to my show.
Yeah.
Well, then we have Elvis at the Frankenstein Pub, Adele singing at Le Monde. The greatest show songs at Le Mans. And
holy
then,
shit.
Finally, I'm going to do Shagadelic, the origins of slang words for doing it, at the Hanover Tap.
You'd love this.
On the 17th through the 27th.
I'm a big fan of the word finally.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Very quickly.
I'm
finished. I'm finished.
No. You're a wonderful person. I'm genuinely glad I've met you.
My brother's name is Phil.
Oh, thank you. My dad's called Tom.
That's my middle name.
So are you on Where When? It's brilliant. 5 stars. The Scotsman.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks to the wonderful Kit Cops. They gave me 2 stars last year. Basically said it was dog shit. But this year is really good. I didn't mean to be rude.
Keep going.
Right, are you? Yeah, 12:30 p.m. Hive 2.
Nice.
Monkey Barrel. 12:30 p.m. Like midday. Come and see, it's selling out. People are coming in. It's ridiculous, really.
Absolutely.
It's embarrassing.
Brilliant.
It's embarrassing.
Now, Samantha, you're not doing a show.
Samantha Preston.
Without getting into a massive deep hole of sexual politics, So you've been reviewing for Mumble.
Mumble and heathenjest.uk. Just find me.
And your website is
heathenjest.uk. And I'm on Twitter at Sammy Presti.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And finally, much to the relief of the staff here, good night.